In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory.
I have a confession to make this morning. One of my best memories as a little boy was when my older brothers and sisters were in school, and when they all went to school, my favorite thing to do was get up in the morning and watch TV. I used to love being at home and have the TV all to myself, and I have great memories of Captain Kangaroo and Rocky and Bullwinkle. Some of you know what that means, right? Anyway, I loved TV as a boy. In fact, they used to tease me, that older brothers and sisters, that I knew every program and what time it came on. They used to call me the TV guy. They said, if you want to know what's on TV, just ask Fred, because he has it all up here. So we grew up with TV in the house. And I know that, studies show, and now raising children of my own, we try to limit that. And we know that, we all watch television to some extent, but it's not the best thing for us, those messages. In fact, one of the worst things about television, apart from the programming, which can be pretty awful, is the commercials, right? If you want to do something entertaining and educational, try this. Do this with your children. Count how many times in a TV ad you hear the word easy. It's so easy. You'll be astonished. Everything they're selling is easy. It's easy to mop your floor. It's easy to lose weight without dieting, right? It's easy to boil pasta. It's easy to do anything. So we're being sold this idea that life can be very easy if only we spend a little money and buy a product. And there's one company that had fun with that, and they came up with an easy button. You know that commercial? That's fun to think about. Yeah. If we could just hit a button and all our problems would go away, wouldn't that be great? But it's not realistic, right? It's a deluded idea. So think about that. When we hear these messages and we think our life should be easy and everything should come together and be solved so quickly and without any effort, we get frustrated and we worry and we get bogged down and we think our life is not working and we get stressed out. That reminds me of the story in the Gospels of the two sisters of Lazarus, Martha and Mary. And when Jesus came to visit, remember, Martha was busy. She was running around, and she was concerned and worried about many things. While Mary did, as Jesus says, the one needful thing. See, in our lives, there's always one needful thing, one important thing. And the Gospels tell us, seek first the kingdom, and everything else will be added unto you. Everything else will fall into place. Seek God and His kingdom first. I love this story of a Zen Buddhist. He was attending a retreat. And you know, in Zen Buddhism, they talk about, well, this is what his teacher told him. He said, the secret to life is simple. When you eat, eat. Sleep. And he thought, well, when you eat, eat, and when you sleep, sleep. Think about that, though. You know, how do we eat nowadays? In meetings? Standing up? Watching television? Multitasking? That's accepted and often encouraged, you know? God forbid we eat in the car. But we're not present for the moment most of the time, for the simplest things like eating and sleeping. When we sleep, our minds wander, and we're concerned and weighed down with the cares of the day, and so we don't get any rest. So our sleep is not really sleep, is it? Father Tom Hopko was a teacher of mine at the seminary, and he used to say that his wife complained he was so busy. He said he's away most of the time, and even when he's home, he's somewhere else. We know what that means, right? We're home, but we're somewhere else. We're not living in the moment. We're not doing the things that are needful at the moment. So he joked about that, but he did it with a heavy heart. Anyway, so this student, he thought about that. When you eat, eat, and when you sleep, sleep. That's the secret to life. So he thought about it, and he went to bed that night, and he woke up the next morning. And at breakfast, he saw his teacher reading the newspaper over breakfast. And he thought, he said, when you eat, eat, right? So he went up to talk to him, and right before he could say anything, his teacher said, oh, and one other thing. When you read the paper over breakfast, read the paper over breakfast. See, it's hard, isn't it? It's hard to do. It's hard to focus in on that one needful thing in life. So television teaches us that things should be easy, that life should be easy, solutions. We should have a button that we hit and make them all disappear, that there's no struggle or effort invested in it. On the contrary, remember I said, count how many times the word easy comes up? Go through your Bibles and try to find occurrences of that word. What does the Bible say is easy? I already did it. I used a concordance. I used an exhaustive concordance. That means they go through every word of New Testament and Old Testament and give you every occurrence of it so you can look at it and see the context. Very few times, beloved in Christ. You can count them on one hand. I think it's four. And the most important occurrence of that is when Jesus says in Matthew's gospel to cast your cares on him because his yoke is easy. That's the one really important occurrence in all of our holy scriptures. The yoke of Jesus is easy. That's the only thing we might say based on our faith that is easy. And what does that mean? Well, in the gospel today, Jesus also talked about what's really hard and what's easy and what's possible and what's impossible. And there's a very important message in there for us and for our salvation. The man who approached Jesus wanted to know, what can I do to have eternal life? How can I be saved? So, of course, Jesus directs him to what's been written, what we know, the law of God. Do these things. So the man says, yeah, but I did all that. I've been doing that ever since I was a boy, from my youth up. You know, what am I still lacking? And Jesus says, if you would be perfect, do this. He tells him, go sell everything you have and give it to the poor and follow me. Follow after me. So this young man who asked the question hung his head and he was very sorrowful, because he had great many possessions, the gospel tells us. So the disciples are astonished at this, and they said, well, first of all, Jesus says how hard it is for people who are attached to possessions to enter heaven. The disciples are astonished and said, who can be saved, Lord? And that's when Jesus says, with men this is impossible, with God it is possible. So our attachment to the world, to possessions, you know, we all have that to some degree. We live in the world. We can all say, well, I follow the commandments. I do this. I don't commit adultery. I don't murder. You know, I don't worship idols. We can go through that and justify ourselves. But Jesus is telling us that's not what saves us. There's one thing that saves us. And this, beloved, is the gospel of grace. It's the same word I mentioned last Sunday. It's the gospel of grace. Because in this we are saved. We heard St. Paul say in the epistle this morning, just before the gospel, in that Jesus died for our sins. That's it. That's how we are saved. That's a free gift given to us. So what we have to do is not get bogged down by the cares and the worries and the insignificant things in life. We need to cast our burdens on him. That's the easy thing, giving it to God. You know that bumper sticker expression? Give it to God. Let go and let God. There's a lot of truth in that, even though it's a bumper sticker. Give your cares to God. Let Jesus bear the burden of your sins. Because when we're bogged down with cares and worries, like Martha in that one gospel, we miss out on the one thing that is needful, the one thing that we need to focus our energies on, the kingdom of God. Seek that first, the gospel tells us. So, it's interesting to note that cares and worries of the world are the same things that choke the word growing in other parts of the gospel. That parable of the word of God, the seed that is planted. Remember, the seed falls on some good soil and starts to grow, but what happens? What happens? The plant gets choked by the cares and the worries of the world, and it can't bear fruit. It can't blossom. It can't grow into what God intended it to do. So that's where we are, beloved in Christ. We often worry too much. We get bogged down. We lose sight of what's important. Mary, the sister of Martha, sat at Jesus' feet and listened to his teaching. She heard the word of God. And she is commended for that. Jesus said, there is one needful thing and it won't be taken away from Mary. She has chosen it and it is hers. So let's be aware of that as we multitask in our lives, as we try to juggle multiple responsibilities, as we are given a full plate. Seems like the world gets busier and busier and people have less and less time, you know, even to pray. Sometimes we hear about our mornings that are so busy we can't find time to pray. Well, if that's the case, we need to re-examine everything and focus on the one thing that is needful. That's the only thing that will save us, beloved in Christ. That's how we follow Jesus. That's how we abandon everything in the world and we walk after him. We look for the kingdom and seek it and cast our burdens and cares on him, because his yoke is easy. The only thing in the world that is easy is the yoke of Jesus. Hit that button. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.